How many of you are thankful for the blood tonight? The precious blood. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you tonight. We praise you and we honor you in this place. We give you all the glory. Thank you tonight, Father God, as we come before you, before your word, that the mighty Holy Spirit sent to teach us and guide us, lead us into all the truth. We'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Give all these young people a big hand clap tonight. Hallelujah. Some of you need to sit in their cages or stand behind their pianos or that. They made them come all out there. So praise the Lord. Well, this is the way back machine tonight, all right? We're doing this with I forgot to unzip my Bible before I came up here. I remember these things. A lot of places I go around the world get to go. You're hanging onto a microphone everywhere you are, so that's all right. Everybody, can you hear me all right? If you can't, move in the middle. I've got a pretty loud voice, but it's not EQ'd, so it's just coming out all natural. Pastor Bill back there said, are they going to sing Acapulco tonight, acapella, which reminds me, one of my favorite shows is the Andy Griffith Show. I don't know. Just something about Barney Fife that speaks to everybody. You know, and I'll never forget when they were getting to having a singing contest, somebody from Mayberry was going to represent Mayberry in the state singing competition. And Barney had been practicing, and he thought for sure he'd going to win. And then Rafe Hollister came in from the farm, and Barney's trying to tell him, now, Rafe, this is for professional singers. You can't think, of course, how many of you know Rafe was played by a professional singer. And he said, Rafe, what would you do if they asked you to sing a cappella? And he said, well, I don't know, Barney. I don't know what I'd do. And then finally Andy said, well, Barney, what would you do? And Barney said, well, you know what I'd do? I'd sing it. A cappella, a cappella. Da-da-da-da. You know, that's what he did. So, praise the Lord. So we had a few doing a cappella tonight. Amen. If you got your Bible, why don't you open up to Luke, the 9th chapter. I'm going to talk tonight, in a little bit of time here, about what it means to be saved. Look at a few different things concerning that. And my goal tonight is to affect our perspective, to make an impact, and to help make a change. Possibly, or to reinforce for others. You know, all the time when you go to the Word of God, you're planting seed or watering seed. Okay? And so, you know, you're not always going to hear something new when you come to church. You're not always going to see something new when you open up your Bible. But you are going to be blessed. Because the Word of God will either plant, it'll be planted in your heart, or what's in there is going to be watered. Okay? And so tonight, we just trust the Holy Ghost, right? To do what he needs to do for each of us. Luke chapter 9, verse 56 says this. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Then he went to another village. But notice that statement. The Son of Man, he's talking about himself here, is not come to destroy men's life, but to save. Now that word save there is so vitally important because we need to let that word be what God's words means it to be. So many of the time, now I realize that you know you have to keep things in context and what's being talked about. But when God says and his word says the word save or salvation, it means so much bigger than what we have let it be for the most part in our thinking. And I think that it helps us to read some different things. I might come back here, but go to Romans chapter 1. Let's read this verse 16. And then I want to read you what Dr. Schofield said in his commentary concerning this verse. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Now what it, the gospel, the message, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, the Jew first and also to the Greek. The word salvation here, Scofield in his notes on Romans 1:16 says, he has a note on the word salvation. He said the Hebrew and Greek word soteria, meaning safety. The Greek word translated salvation here is soteria, and it's related to the same word as saved, which it's not really the Greek word, it's the English lettering applied to the Greek alphabet, but the word we get from it. And sozo, which is the word saved, means safety, preservation, healing, and soundness. So I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto safety. It is the power of God unto preservation. It is the power of God unto healing. It is the power of God unto salvation, or soundness. It is the power of God unto salvation. He said this, salvation is the great inclusive word of the gospel. That tells me that that word means more than just being born again. To be saved, thank God, is to be adopted into the family of God. Aren't you glad about that? It is to be saved. It is to be born again. We use a lot of different terms, but it does mean, yes, it does mean that. First and primarily, but that's not all it means. And we say primarily because in our way of thinking, that's the most important thing, that you have that. When you're saved, you have received the impartation of the life of God. And you have become a new creature in Christ. We have been freed from sin, the penalty of sin. We have been freed from the dominion of sin. Amen. We've been freed from all the results of sin. You know, Brother Hagin's book, Redeemed from Poverty, Sickness and Disease, and Spiritual Death. That's so important that we understand that we are redeemed from that. When you got saved, all of that became a reality for you. But it means more than just, carry that out again, more than just being born again and becoming a child of God. You and I are now redeemed from, in other words, we're saved from poverty. Absolutely. God does not intend for us to go around in life and not have what we need to fulfill His call on our life. Amen. Now, I'm gonna say something. The Bible never defines the word rich other than to say it means fully supplied. Amen. So I'm going to tell you this right now. God didn't promise to make you a millionaire. That's nowhere in the Bible. Besides, that might be limiting God. All right? You cannot put a monetary value on what it means to be rich. We're to let the word of God, Christ, dwell in us richly. What does that mean? Fully supplied. Think about a sponge that, you know, there's no water in it. You can take that sponge and it's hard, isn't it? You can beat it I can beat it right here. But if I fill it up with water, it expands. And then you can set it, if you set it real gently, it'll not a lot of pressure on it, it'll just sit there holding that water. Now, we don't use the word rich that way anymore, but you could say it's rich with water. Now, what happens if you poke that sponge? What comes out? Water. See, it's rich with it. We're supposed to be rich with the Word of God, first of all. Anytime anything pokes us from life, out comes the Word. That's being rich, you see. Well, what happens when we don't have to be poor? We don't have to be under the curse of poverty. We can have all of our needs met according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now again, you start putting monetary terms on that and you're going to miss it. Because then you're going to fall in love with money, and money is not rich. Money's a tool that we use to fulfill God's plan in our life, take care of our needs, to support the spreading of the gospel. Amen. It's just a tool here on earth. Why? How do we know it's just here on earth? There's none in heaven. I was thinking about this the other day, and I noticed that they put it looks like a new CD out by Brother Hagin. It's been in, you know, a cassette form for years, what God taught me about finances. The Lord told him, don't ever ask me for money. I don't have any here. There's no money in heaven. Doesn't need it. He said, all the money you need is down on the earth. Claim what you have need of. Amen. Why? It's part of your salvation. Now what kind of parent would God be if he's not going to meet all your needs? You're his child. He's going to take care of you. That's not necessarily my subject, the finances, but I just felt like to go that way for some reason, all right? Now back here, let's go back to Luke again. With these definitions in mind, also, you know, I like, let's see, Thayer's definition of the word saved here. Thayer's lexicon, and he says this word saved. He said, remember, the Son of Man has come, not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. All right? He says it means to save, to keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger or destruction. It means to save one from injury or peril. And I like this one. It says, to save a suffering one from perishing. As an example, one suffering from disease, to make well, heal, and restore to health. Amen. You see, when you got saved, healing comes with it. I heard T.L. Osborne talk about this, that as he was ministering, of course, filling up the large, we call it soccer, but football stadiums around the world. He was one of the first ones that we know of that filled those up. And you're talking about thousands and thousands, sometimes even 100,000 people. Well, how many of you know you're going to be there for 3 days laying hands on everybody? And the Lord told him, listen, when they accept me as their Savior, they're not only going to be born again, they're accepting me as their healer. I am their healer also. And so he started giving his altar calls. Who wants to accept Jesus as your Lord? All right? He said, Rachel, he said, and then who wants to accept Jesus as your healer? And when they would pray that way. We're going to go over to Romans chapter 10. In fact, we'll go over there in just a little bit. But as they would receive that, he said they just start praying, and healing would start breaking out all over. Just as easy as people got saved or born again, they were getting healed just as easy. Miracles, tremendous things taking place. And he said, I just preached until there was so much commotion going on and so much praise to God that no one was listening to me anymore. Glory to God. Why? Because people were getting saved. Now here, he says it also means to preserve one who's in danger from destruction, to rescue someone. He said this, to deliver from the penalties of judgment, to save from the evils which obstruct the reception of our deliverance. All right? We've been saved from all that. So the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but he's come to deliver them. He's come to protect them. He's come to heal them. He's come to make them whole. He's come to keep them safe. He's come to make them well. All that all means the same thing, that word saved. Amen. So when we say, I'm saved, what are we saying? See, what are you meaning when you say that? See, that's the question I want to ask you tonight. What do you mean when you say, I'm saved? When you say, I'm saved, you say, well, I'm born again, I'm a child of God, and that's a great part. I'm not doing despite to that, dear Lord. We wouldn't want to put that down. But when you say, I'm saved, are you limiting it to that? Are you limiting your salvation? We don't have to. We don't have to limit our salvation. It applies in all of these areas of life. Glory to God. Now go over to Romans chapter 10. We read there in Romans 1 that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Now what do we know about what God has provided? We have to receive it, do we not? What God has done through Christ, by his grace, we receive through faith. And we'll look at that. We'll go to Ephesians chapter 2 here in just a little bit. But here in Romans chapter 10, now, familiar scriptures. But let's apply these definitions to what we're saying. That if you will confess, verse 9, I'm sorry, Romans 10:9, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now, I want you to notice there, if you confess with your mouth the lordship, if you will, of Jesus over your life, every aspect, again, when you accept Jesus as Lord, you're accepting him as Savior, which means healer, protector, provider, deliverer, one who's going to keep you safe. He's all those things. And salvation includes all that. Now notice, what do we have to believe? That he's alive, that God raised him from the dead. Now I want you to think about something. When Jesus went to the cross, he became sin for us, right? The Bible said, he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God, righteousness of Christ, righteousness of God in him. We kind of paraphrase that last part there, but that's 2 Corinthians 5:21. Jesus never sinned. All right? And he didn't actually become a sinner at the cross. He became sin for us. He never was a sinner. He was righteous and holy. That's why God could raise him from the dead, because he went to pay our penalty. Now, so Jesus bore our sins. What else did he do at the cross? What else did it say? It says, in fact, I don't have it on my list, but turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. I want us to read this, because this is important. The same body, the same time Jesus bore our sins, he bore our sickness and disease. You know, Jesus a couple times said to people, your sins are forgiven, when they're needed healing. And the religious folks didn't like that. Who can forgive sins? He said, what's it easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, arise, take up your bed and walk. But that you may know, I say, take up your bed and walk. Of course, the man got up. The other place he did it with another, a woman got healed that way also. Here in 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bore our sins. You know, you got to make that personal. Who bore my sin in his own body on the tree? That me, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes I was healed. The same time, the same sacrifice, the same body, the same cross that Jesus bore your sins, bore your sicknesses and diseases. And by his stripes, literally the bruise that was placed upon him, we are healed. Not just healed, but we're saved, right? We understand that. But it happened at the same time. So when we say there that he's our Lord, we're confessing him as Lord, we believe that God raised him from the dead. If he isn't risen from the dead, then we can't partake of what he did. If he had stayed in the grave, which he didn't, the price would have been paid, but the results would not be available to us. But thank God, he's risen from the dead. He's alive today. It's through his resurrection and his seating at the right hand of God that we have now been given the authority to partake of and have what he paid for. See, it's one thing to have me pay for something, right? How many of you, be honest, someone's paid for a gift card for you and you gave it to you and you never used it? We will cast that lying demon out of a lot of you folks. You know it's happened. You understand what I'm saying. It was bought for you. It was purchased for you, but you never benefited from it. Why? You never used it. You never partook of it. Amen. And that happens to us in this area of salvation, you see. We have all these things that Jesus did, that he accomplished through his death, burial, resurrection, and seating at the right hand of God. But we have limited it in our thinking that, well, if just get born again, been barely scraped through life, and slide into heaven without the devil know you're there. No. We're to reign in this life. Hallelujah. I didn't have this one, but Romans chapter 6, I'm reminded of a verse there. I was reading again some of the Believer's Authority book, and also from the Triumph of Church book. We just finished up here this first term teaching the Believer's Authority class. I had more fun than I should be allowed to have in that class, but I had a good time teaching that. But in reading that, Brother Hagin pointed something out that is true, that he talks about sin here, and sin is a result, Satan is the author of sin. And so when it talks about sin, he's talking about Satan here and the results of sin. You see, what Jesus redeemed us from poverty, sickness, and disease, and spiritual death, which is separation from God, and then which would lead to what the Bible calls the second death, being eternally separated from God, is all a result, or the fruit of, if you will, sin. So, if we're free from sin, we're free from the fruit of sin, or the results of sin, right? Now look here in Romans chapter 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Say it, for sin shall not have dominion over me. Well, what about this? For sickness and disease shall not have dominion over me. For poverty and lack shall not have dominion over me. Dominion there, you could say authority. Amen. You see, these things, it's part of our salvation to walk in these things. Glory to God. Jesus did not provide some second-hand salvation. He didn't provide some weak, never going to help us salvation. As I said, just barely get us into heaven. Thank God we're going to heaven. But I'm telling you this, Jesus did not come so you could go to heaven. Jesus came so that you could have the life of God back on the inside of you, and you could be God's child. He could be your father. Now, you're going to go to heaven because of that, but that's why he came, was to get that life. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I have come not to destroy men's life, but to save them. Abundant life. Abundant life. Someone pointed out that means superior in quality and super abundant in quantity. Hallelujah. We're saved, glory to God. Go to Ephesians chapter 2 now. One of the definitions in there for the word salvation from the original language, I like this. He says, deliverance from the molestation of enemies. Who's our enemy? Satan. When you receive salvation, you receive deliverance from the devil harassing you. Oh, he's going to try. But all you got to say, no, you don't, Satan. I've got authority over you. You're done. Well, really? Yeah. Now, you know, others, people have talked over the years. I've heard since I've been in over 38 years now, and you listen to certain ones and certain prophets of God and different ones talk about, you know, what's going to happen and how people are going to rise up in these last days, and they're going to know who they are. They're going to take their place in the body of Christ, and they're going to know the power of the name of Jesus. They're going to walk in the authority that they have. And it's amazing when you start talking about these things, when you start stepping out in these things, how much resistance there is in the body of Christ to you doing it. Amen. You start going around telling people, I'm not poor anymore. And they're going to start looking at what you drive. Well, you think if you weren't poor, you wouldn't be driving that. Amen. But we're not saying it because what we have. We're not saying it because what we're experiencing is not based on that. It's based on what Jesus has done. And I'm going to declare what he's done. I'm going to say with my mouth. We didn't read it, but verse 10 says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Unto healing, unto provision. Confession is made. Why am I saying it? Am I saying it to make it happen? No, I'm saying it because it's true. Amen. I'm not saying it to make it happen. I can't make it happen. We can't make it happen. Grace has already made it happen. I'm just saying what God said. Really, confession literally means to agree with God in the Word of God. Say what God says about it. What's God say? You're saved. I know one minister over the years, he was trying to get this into his thinking. And every time he read the word saved, he'd tag healed on it. He just said saved healed. Because he's getting that in his mind. Now listen to me now. How many of you had to pray day after day after day after day after day today to talk God into saving you? To get born again? No? You did what? You went to him? Ever how, you know, there's no formula. But in one way or another, you confessed his lordship of your life. You asked him to be the Lord of your life. Right? And you received salvation. You were born again. You're a new creature in Christ, right? You didn't have to beg him for it, did you? You didn't have to talk him into it, did you? You didn't have to do it 25 times to make it stick, did you? You don't have to do that for healing either. You don't have to do that for provision either. You don't have to do that for anything that Jesus has already accomplished for you. All you have to do is declare it. Say it with your mouth, believe it with your heart. Amen. See, what part of the provision is not just healing, it's divine health. Walking in health. Now that changes your perspective. See, I'm not the sinner trying to get saved. I'm born again. I'm already saved. Well, then in the same case, if this is true, what I'm saying tonight's true, then I'm not the sick trying to get well either. Amen. Now listen, I'm not discounting. We're not saying anything. All of us have times where we don't feel good and that type of stuff, but we've got to act on the Word of God. Amen. And until Jesus comes back, if Jesus tarries, this body you have right now is not going to live forever. We should shout hallelujah about that. I want one of those new bodies. I need one, glory to God. You do too. Don't look at me like that. Amen. I'm not sure, but I hope we get that body that we had at our, you know, that about 31, 32, 33-year-old body that had all that strength to it. That's when I was strongest in my life, I know that. But not anymore, not that age anymore, glory to God. Hallelujah. Did you find Ephesians 2? If not, just let me read it to you. Now verse 1 says, and you has he quickened. Now I want you to notice the past tense of what he's saying here. You has he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. So guess what? You're not dead in trespasses and sins right now, are you? Then? You were. Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world. I'm not worldly any longer. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. That doesn't describe me anymore either. Among whom also we all had our manner of life in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's who we were. And then my favorite phrase in the entire Bible, but God. But God. See, when you start thinking about anything, you're not finished thinking about it until you say, but God, who is rich in mercy, wherewith his great love, where he loved me, make it personal, loved me, but God. You see, all of us have that testimony. Well, I was a drunk, but God. I was a drug addict, but God. I was an arrogant, prideful fool, but God. I grew up in church, but God. Amen. I was born on the wrong side of the tracks, but God. I was born on the right side of the tracks, but God. I was born on the tracks, but God. See, but God does away with the past. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, and has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. By grace you are healed. By grace you are protected. By grace you have dominion over sin. By grace. Hallelujah. Now grace, because it's of grace, that means it can never be earned. You can't earn it. It's provided as part of salvation. Remember the psalmist said, don't forget all his benefits. Right? Excuse me. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. See, God raised Jesus, he raised us. He seated Jesus, he seated us. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For by grace, again, am I born again. For by grace, I am healed. For by grace, I'm protected. For by grace, I'm made whole. By grace, I'm made well through faith. See, God, in every, and I don't mean to say it this way to make it lighter, but in every interaction with God, let's say it that way, God has his part and I have my part. Now my part is to believe what God said in his word and to say that out of my mouth that it belongs, that it applies to me. I don't have to make anything up. I don't have to try to help God. I'm not saying it to try to talk God into it. This is how God has determined that we should make withdrawals, if you will, from our salvation account. Is you believe it and then you say it. How many of you have a bank account? Does your bank have rules on how to get the your money out? They're not going to let me come get it for you, are they? No. You're going to have to get it yourself. Unless we have a power, I mean, we got to go through a lot of different things to get that done. But the same thing's true with this. This belongs to you. Now, when you're young, when you're a child, you don't have a parent, you might put your name on the account with them so they can, you can help them. And that works in this thing when someone's young in the Lord. You might be able to help them for a while with your faith. But then when that child grows up, they've got to start doing things for themselves. Isn't that right? And God's the same way with us. We grow up. We develop in the things of God, and it's our responsibility. Now we can join together, but I can't do it for you. Alright? You confess with your mouth. You believe with your heart that God has done these things for you. Now see, sometimes we get into the game of comparison. And anytime we start comparing things, ourselves with others, then we're going to get in trouble. The Bible says it's not wise comparing ourselves by ourselves. See, I can't look at you and say, well, look at them, God. I wish I was as prosperous as them. The moment I do that, the moment I start looking at you, then I've got into a position of lack of wisdom. Because then I'll get over the area of reasoning. That's why the Bible says, look, rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. I like to say it this way. The same God who blessed that one is my God too. Right? The same one. It doesn't matter. So we can't compare ourselves. Don't get, all I'm comparing myself to is what does the Word say about me? See, what's the Word say about you? That's all you need to know. And then believe it and say it. Amen? So say it again, I'm saved. What does that mean? Say it, I'm healed. I'm blessed. I'm delivered from the power of sin. See, when you said I'm saved, you said all of that. But sometimes we're not thinking that. So we have to look at things and change our perspective and change our understanding of what it means when the Bible says we are saved. Hallelujah. God has done it. See, there's no other There's no other sacrifice available. There's no other payment available for your salvation. I think sometimes when in trying to help people receive healing, it's like they're waiting for God to do. What is God going to do that He hasn't already done? What greater healing can He provide than what He provided through the stripes on Jesus' back? Whatever greater payment for my sin can He provide than what He did when Jesus went to the cross and the grave on my behalf? What greater payment is there? Amen? There is none. It's already been done. And if it's already been done, then it belongs to me right now. It belongs to you right now. Amen? Let's all stand upon our feet. Let's thank God. Father, we just thank You tonight. Thank You tonight that we are saved. We are saved. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're not trying to be saved. We are saved. We're not trying to get our healing. We are healed. We're not trying to be blessed. We are blessed. We're not trying to have dominion over sin in our life. We have it now in Jesus' name. Father, we just thank You and we praise You tonight. Glory be to God that You have made us. You have made us. Glory. Hallelujah. Ha ha. We bless You, Lord. We magnify You. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord over your body. He's Lord over your finances. He's Lord over your relationship. No matter what it is we have need of, He's the Lord of it. Jesus, hallelujah. That's why God said at that name, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank You and we praise You in this place tonight. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now the great thing about God is He has made many avenues for us to receive that which He's already paid for. One of the ways is to agree with folks in prayer and to come together and pray according to the Word of God. And so we're going to have our prayer team come on down, guys, on the left, on my left and your right, ladies, on my right and your left. If you need prayer for anything after this, we say dismissal here, then you can come up and pray with them. They'll be happy to pray with you. All right? Now, before you leave tonight, I want you to tell two people you're not related to, I'm glad I'm saved. All right? So God bless you. You can be dismissed.